Hello, everyone. Marvin B. here. We have said goodbye to 2020 and hello to 2021. That means championship football. That means new goals, new aspirations, new things to make your business run for 2021. And of course, bringing in the new year with my good friend, Mr. Matt Rainey. Ladies and gentlemen, Podnuts Pro starts right now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Ladies and gentlemen, Podnuts Pro is your podcast for IT business support. Whether you are a man in the van, solo technician, lady warrior, or a million-dollar MSP, this podcast, we hope, will bring you stories, products, and tips to help you run your business better, smarter, and faster. Tonight, the first show of the year, I am joined by my very good friend, Mr. Matt Rainey. Matt, how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Fantastic. I am doing good, my friend. So, are you ready for some football?
Oh, yes. I am 100% ready for some football.
All right. So, I see your Saints in the playoffs.
Of course. Of course.
How do you think they'll do?
Third straight NFC South title. I think it's third straight.
Third straight?
I think so.
All right.
And I was worried this year because of Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, you mean?
I knew that they'd be good. Yeah, Tampa Bay. I was worried about them.
I wasn't.
Oh, you should be. Look, they got a good record.
Yeah.
Of course, the Saints beat them twice, you know, but whatever.
I'm not worried about them. I think when they get to the playoffs, they'll be exposed and, you know, it'll give Tom motivation for next year, but I don't think they're going to
do it. Do you think Tom will play next year? Because Drew Brees rumored to be retiring after this season.
I think Tom will play one more year because that gives him the edge to break more records. I think that once it's all said and done, his goal is to have set all the quarterbacking records that he can, and he can only do that by playing. I think he's got to play two more years to catch a couple of those records.
He'll start doing some underarm passes and shuffle passes if he can't. Yeah,
I don't think he can do
some granny passes.
Yeah, not going to happen. So, all right, let's get on with the show. So, wanted to get you on first, just to kind of set the tone for the year. 2020 has been or was interesting. 2021 is going to be a new year, new goals and aspirations, and wanted to get you to set us off with some great joyful stories.
Oh. I can tell you that for me, 2021 started off with quarantine and COVID all in the family. Mm. But other than that, if that sets the tone for you.
Sorry to hear that. We'll talk off air about that. We won't share that with our listeners.
But I'm fine.
You're fine.
Family members.
Yep.
But it puts me in quarantine.
I hear you. So we did have a customer that emailed today that one of their employees tested positive, and they have shut down their business for the week. Everybody will be working remotely. No one in the office. So not much of a change. Everybody except for one employee was already set up to work remotely, so I'll be setting that person up in the morning.
It's only one person. That one person can go to the office. They'll be by themselves anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. This company, I think what they're going to do, I think they're going to sanitize the office. So I think that's why they're doing it. And so let's talk first. How did 2020 end up for you with your business? How were things there over in Louisiana land?
That was great. I mean, we were busy the whole time. I mean, sometimes busier than normal. We didn't have any issues as far as a business goes. It was a great year.
All right. Did you have to go back in? Because I think you were working from home, weren't you?
Yes, I started. So when it started in March, my guys were staying, were remote. And if I had to send them somewhere, they would just go. They'd only come to the office and they had to pick something up. So me and the receptionist and the two other partners, pretty much just us, were in the office. And we're in completely different parts of the building because it's a good sized building. So I'm very far away from everybody else and we're all separated. So I was going in. But then the guys started coming back to work and I
Got a little
started
crowded.
working more and more from home. So I've been working home from home almost exclusively for a couple of months now. I might
Oh.
go in a few minutes here or there, and I'll do that sometimes after hours so no one's around. But for the most part, I think the longest stretch I had during business hours was one day for like 2 hours. And that's it. That's since like October or November. So yeah,
Interesting.
I've been working from home. I like it. It's a good setup too, because my ultimate goal was, before even COVID started, was to find some way. So really it worked out great to find some way to work remotely and have it become normal for me to be remote. Because if I'm remote, even though I'm only 6 minutes from the office, what's the difference if I'm a time zone and 12 hours away?
Interesting that you said that. Time zone and 12 hours. Is there a particular place in mind that you're thinking of working remotely from?
Yeah, south of you, Cayman Islands.
So that has come up a lot in the last couple of years. You're actually
Oh yeah.
working towards that, huh?
That'd be nice. That's my goal. If it's not Cayman Islands, the next possibility would probably be Kentucky.
What? Not even close.
I don't, maybe it's my first choice. I know it's my wife's last choice. She'd much rather have the Cayman Islands, but I like
I
Kentucky.
was going to say, what you could have said a beach in Florida, you can still get to Kentucky pretty
Yeah,
quickly.
you could, but you know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of hurricanes. I'm tired of all that.
Okay, there are still hurricanes in the Caymans.
That's why Kentucky would be
Oh.
a contender, a contender.
Okay.
And the way that the currents go, Cayman doesn't get that many hurricanes. It usually goes around them where the currents are.
Okay. But just remember this. The last couple of years for Louisiana have not been normal.
No,
You
but there's always a threat in
okay.
hurricane season. There's always a threat.
Yeah, but you've been years in between threats.
Yeah.
I mean,
And it's not
just
necessarily that I
last
would.
year hit you guys pretty hard. I mean, what was it, four hurricanes in 3 months?
Yeah, it was a lot. It's not the hurricanes is only one factor. I mean, one reason why I can't say I'd want to move to the beach is because not only the hurricanes, but the threat. And it's not my threat. It's prices of insurance. Living on the beach is very, very expensive.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, for the price of just the HOA fees of a house or a condo on the beach could more than pay for a house either in Grand Cayman or in Kentucky. That's just the HOA fees that never end. They're always there. Even if you buy the unit, you still have HOA fees, which cost more than my current house note now.
Well, depends on where you buy, which is why we bought a house a little further from the beach and we are not in an HOA. So.
Kim, my wife wants to step onto the beach from the property. No driving, no walking. You step onto the
Well,
beach.
my wife wanted that too, and I asked her if she was going to get the job to pay the bills to be on the beach.
Here's my thought. I could do it in the Cayman Islands. Well, not necessarily because it is very expensive to live there too, but Kentucky, you could do this. You could live in Kentucky or anywhere else. And for a month, twice a year, off season, you could rent a condo or a house for a month for relatively cheap and not have to worry about the year-round maintenance and HOA fees. So I could still spend 2 months easily a year at the beach.
All right.
And she would go for that. But the thing is that the trick is to get everyone used to me working remotely. And that's COVID actually has, of course, jumped that ahead tremendously. So.
All right. Or you could go on House Hunters International and have them help you find the perfect place on the beach.
I know where to go in Grand Cayman. Okay. I have plenty of contacts there. But man, housing's expensive there.
I don't know because I haven't been, and the next time you invite me, I will go.
I was hoping to go this coming up summer. If COVID's over, I was going to go for a few weeks. Mm. We'll have to see how that goes.
We will have to see. All right, my friend. So as we look forward to 2021, any goals in mind for the business?
Any goals? No, I would like to do more of some HIPAA stuff. I mean, we have clients in that area and we do some stuff, but I'd like to really get all my HIPAA clients on. And this is the guy who we use for that. What's his name? He was at the conventions. At the,
are you talking about, what's his name? Dave?
I think that's it. He does the HIPAA compliance.
Help me.
HIPAA
for MSPs.
Yes, I think that's it. My goal is I had to put him off because I talked to him a few times, and then a bunch of stuff happened with all the COVID and everything. We had to put it off.
David but Sims.
No, he's not the one I'm thinking of.
Oh,
that offers the service.
Oh.
Is a service. I can't, and I have it. Let me see. Oh, no, I want to find it.
Okay, well, I just did a shout out to David. So, David, if you're listening, sorry.
he has he doesn't provide a service. He gives you knowledge,
right?
But he doesn't do it for you,
right? Well, he's got his own company, Security First, that they also do their computer support, networking support, HIPAA support,
right?
And then
this other one was a company that you
Compliancy Group.
That sounds right. Is that it? That sounds right.
I don't know because I've got a lot of names going through my head, but the names the names that I know and the names that you know, because I get a bunch that send me stuff. I had somebody else send me like Compliancy as a Service, and I don't know who they are.
I had to go back and look at my notes. It was one that was at TechCon Unplugged.
I think
MSP Unplugged.
I think that was Compliancy
Group.
Yeah,
that sounds right. Anyway, my goal is to this year to really get on that because, in fact, we just picked up a client today. We did work for them for like 15 years. They went to somebody else for a few years, and they called us back today saying, yeah, we need you back. And that's a medical. So that'd be a good one. And they have a few different offices around town. That'd be a great one since we're just getting back with them to put that on and work on that. So that's my goal, to get more into that.
All right. So we have a similar goal, but mainly it is from an overall perspective, become more compliant, not just with HIPAA, but so a lot of my law firms are now starting to get mandates from their clients that they have to meet minimum security requirements. Now, some of them are similar to HIPAA, but they're not all. Some of them are just, you know, they have to either comply with a NIST, you know, article or something and just, you know, do your basic stuff with encryption and password protection and things of that nature. But what's happening is we are being asked to verify that we are secure as well. So as a third party for these law firms, we have to prove that, you know, we're protecting their information if we have it at our office. Are we using multi-factor authentication? All this stuff. So we are basically going to work with a company that is, once they're done, they're working with two of my clients now to get them compliant for their clients. Once they're done with that, they're going to come in and do basically a risk assessment for MB Systems. and help get us on track so that we can have a piece of paper that we can now say, yes, we are compliant with all the things that you need, you know, from, you know, backups and, you know, disaster plans and all of the security stuff that we need. We added cyber security insurance, cyber insurance to our portfolio. We upped our liability insurance. There's a lot of stuff we're doing with that. So that's going to be our focus. And then with that, we are going to be making a push. Only about half of our clients are under our dashboard. We're going to get the other half on by the end of this year.
So is that going to be something you have a conversation with them saying it's mandatory if I'm doing work for you? Or is it going to be a thing where you're like, I really want you to sign up for this, but if you don't, I'm not going to make you.
Basically, it'll be an option. Listen, it'll be your choice, but by the end of 2021, you will need to be under some sort of management plan. And we're working out whether we're going to have just the two. We have two now. Or if I'm going to add a third lower tier just so that they can be on a plan and have, you know, the very basics with, you know, remote management, antivirus, web protection, that sort of thing. I don't want to go that route, but I may do that for one or two clients that we really like. We really want to keep them. So I'm keeping that in my back pocket.
Even if you do, what are you using?
SolarWinds is our primary platform.
So even if you, the minimum, just put asset tracking and take control and remote background, even if they have another antivirus solution and maybe patch manage, at the very bare minimum, I like asset tracking and take control and remote background.
Yeah.
Because at least I can see if they're up in the dashboard. I can connect to them without going all the, however you do it, pin codes from LogMeIn, Rescue, whatever you do, at least I can click it and take control of it.
Right. And that's what we're looking at is what's the minimum baseline for us to be able to support them and monitor them. And that's really it.
Yeah. I had a client who was convinced that our agent was causing issues with their software, and they take these computers out on the rig. And so they say they're cut off and they can't contact support when they're on the rig, which I think I've been on rigs that have phones, but anyway, and they have internet because they're internet based software. Anyway, they were convinced that our agent was causing their issues. So they took the agent off. But the problem is when they took them off, when they wanted us to get support, it was much harder and people can't follow. These guys who work in offshore, they can't follow directions on how to go here, click here, do this, right? Anyway, we determined that it wasn't our agent, because even after our agent was removed, even on computers that they brought out without our agent, they would have this issue. And so I said, look, we need to find out what's happening, because obviously it's not our agent, because you bring out computers that never had the agent and it's happening. So I found out that it was their software that they were using, and a certain Windows 7 patch. This is back when they had Windows 7. Windows 7 patch. So whenever that computer got that Windows 7 patch, it broke their software. Mm. So I showed them this, and I said, this computer has no agent. I said, test your software. Does it work? Yes. Now, we're going to do all the Windows updates, and I want you to test it. Did the Windows updates? It broke. Software didn't work. I said, okay, you see, it's not our agent. It's the Windows patch. One of these patches is causing this. So on those computers, we had to put Windows 7 on it, just a base install, drivers, and disable Windows updates completely, because they didn't want to take the time to figure out which patch it was. And of course, the software they were running, out of business, they wouldn't support the software. So we couldn't work with support. And they didn't want to take the time to do one update at a time to see what broke it.
Mm. I was going to ask you, because that sounds like an organization that can't upgrade to Windows 10.
Well, eventually they did. They went with a different software, and that's part of the story. So it was funny. So we determined, and I showed them and proved it, that it was not our agent. But still, they would say, we don't want the agent. And I say, why don't you want the agent? Oh, because it conflicts with our software. I said, but we just went a whole thing and showed you it didn't conflict, that it's the Windows 7 patch. So that's why we put this image of Windows 7 on it. We turn off Windows updates. I said, let me put our agent on one computer. Oh, no, because if it goes down, it'll be down. But it won't go down. So that was Windows 7 with software A.
You could have said, you're going down without the agent. So what's the risk?
What I told them. But they would not, even though they could see they were going down, they still blamed our agent. Even though everything we did and showed them that if you do updates on Windows 7, it's going to break. So that was Windows 7 with software package A. Then they went to Windows 10 with software package B. Okay, different OS, different software, and they still won't let us put the agent. Mm. And I said, why are we not putting the agent? And so, because it messes up with our software. I said, no, Windows 7 patch messed with software A. This is different Windows, different software. But they still refuse to let us load the agent. So you know what I did? I rang SolarWinds and created a site, and I only have take control and remote background and asset tracking. They don't know what's on there. And has it messed up their software? No. Because when they need me to connect to it, they say, oh, do I need to go into the code? I said, nope. I just take control. Oh, what happened? Oh, I did it. Don't worry about it. I'm like, this is not going to mess up your software. But yet, in their mind, something happened and our agent was on there. So that must be the problem.
Must be. Wow. Now, I think we talked about this a long time ago. Do you have a price that you charge them for remote access, regardless of whether you use your agent or not? Are you charging by endpoint, or did you just come up with a price that you charge them for remote support, or are you billing by the hour?
Do you mean somebody who's not in my dashboard?
Right.
And I need to do a remote connection?
Mm-hmm.
There's no added charge for remote connection. That's just by the hour.
Okay.
So, I mean, the we pay for a few seats for Log Me and Rescue. That's just, we pay for that and we use it if we need to.
Okay. But if the agent is on,
we use that.
But is that?
And that they bill for. They get billed for the agent.
Okay.
They get billed for the agent, which of course includes the other things. Depending on what they have, if they have patch management or AV or everything else, they get billed per seat with that.
Okay.
But no agent and there's no extra charge. But again, we have minimum. So if I connect for 3 minutes, they get billed a half an hour minimum. So, I mean, today I had to connect somebody's computer and close Google Chrome for them. Well, that's a half an hour, and I used my remote. They had to go to use a different browser, go to the site, put the code in. It takes longer to connect that way than it does.
Right.
I mean, but it doesn't fix a problem. But, oh, is that all it was? I said, yeah, that's why I told you. I tried to walk her through it. Right-click, task manager, end task. She couldn't do it. And it took her forever to get to connected with the PIN code. But it goes to them. So when you – and that's the thing. When I tell somebody to go to a website, I think we've talked about this before. How do you tell somebody to go to your website? Do you say open a browser and go to this web page?
Pretty much.
No, I don't do that.
What do you do?
Okay, so if it's Windows 10, it's easy. Click on Windows where it says type here to search, right? Just type www.mbsystems.com or whatever it is, and it opens up their default browser and it goes right to the site.
Okay.
Because if they open up a web browser, you know they're going to Google search it. And they're going to, which one is it?
Is it this first one here?
Is it this one? I'm like, no. If you typed it in the address bar, you will not get a search list. So now I just have them click on start. And or where it says type here to search, I just say www, because if you don't put www dot, it's going to search for it. Put www.whatever.com. It's going to open their browser. It's going to go to the site.
Mm.
It's so annoying when they, because no matter what you tell them, you tell them open web browser. What page are you on? I'm on Google. So you see the top where it says google.com? Yes. Put your cursor there. Take it out. Type in this. They still end up Google searching it. I'm like, oh my.
I don't know. I just tell people, go to my website. What's your website? mbsystems.net. okay. And then they go. I mean, I don't even, I just shut up and let them get there.
Oh no. Let me see if I Google you.
I think we got bumped to number two.
Oh, you're not NBSystems.net. I'm going to Google it. Not first. Why don't I do it? You're first.
Oh, okay.
But then they got to click on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got to click.
And then what they do, because I've got to redesign the website because I'm not a marketing guy, so I didn't do this right. They always look at the bottom and says, click here to get started.
Yeah, right. I did that too because I assumed that would be the click here to support. I thought I said click here to get support at first.
Right.
But that's what brought my eye went first.
So I do need to change that because I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the support button there as well. Because I usually just say, look, nope, go up to the top right and click support.
Well, see, on our website, it's worse because.
It's worse.
Yeah. Because our website, there's services listed. And the first thing at the top says IT support. And then further down is a green arrow that says request support. So I always tell them on the left by the green arrow, click request support. And they say, oh, it says it's support. Well, that's IT support. And that's not where I told you to click. So look below that. Do you see a green arrow? Yes. Click that. Oh, request support. Yes. That's why I said click on request support, not it support. We don't support it. And granted, we don't use it very often because a lot of our clients that call are in our dashboard.
Right.
So we don't use it a whole lot. But today I had to use it twice, which is unusual.
Well, and most of the regular customers are in the dashboard. So what they do is they call and they say, I have this problem. Can you remote in and take a look? they just assume, you know.
Right.
Can you remote in and take a look? Do you see my screen yet? I'm like, yeah. Let me get to my desk.
You're right. I love it. I think this is instantaneous.
Yeah.
I see it on TV. You must be able to connect to it.
Yeah. I'm clicking. Don't you see me clicking?
Yeah. And my favorite one was, it's happened more than once. Somebody would tell me, well, I'm not at my computer right now, but can you still connect to it? And I have the agent on it because they know I can connect to it. And I say, well, the dashboard shows your computer is offline. You're right. I shut it down. But can you connect to it? I said, if you were going to use your computer, do you use it while it's shut down? Well, no, I got to turn it on. Right. So for me to get on it, you got to turn it on. Oh, but I'm not at home. I know. You said that. Is there anyone there that can turn it on? No. Do you need it turned on? Yes, we do need it turned on. Yeah, that's funny. You got to turn it on for me to connect to it.
Yep. Oh, my. So yeah, here's
my website's pretty bad. Ours is very old, and it needs to be redone, but it's not going to get redone.
Yeah, mine will be redone. But I did Podnuts Pro first.
And that looks really nice.
Have you, for people listening, if you haven't heard in the last couple of shows, podnutspro.com is up and running. Now, before you get your panties in a bunch, Podnuts is not going away. Podnuts.com is still there. The show is still there. But I have Podnuts Pro so that I can add a few other things on there. And one of the things that I've done is if you go to the episode page, for instance, the last show we did, How to Sell and Support Microsoft 365, on the page you have the option of listening to the audio or watching the video.
So if I click on that, okay, yeah, I got the video.
Yep.
Or a little audio. I like a little microphone at the bottom, right, that I could click on it and start recording.
That's right, and that'll send me a message. So if you are out and about, say you're in the car, and you're listening to the show, and you heard me say something or Matt say something, and you're like, wait a minute, and you're yelling at your mobile device, go to podnutspro.com on your mobile device, press the blue microphone, send us a quick message. You don't have to worry about remembering to do it when you get to your destination or when you get to work or when you get home. You can do it right there from your phone. So, yes.
Might have fun with that if you get some messages from me.
That's what I'm saying. I wasn't going to mention that, but you're like a 5-year-old kid that notices all the stuff that we don't want you to see.
I might have a little fun with that. You might start getting some messages.
Yeah. And then we've got obviously the places where you can subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast. So all of that, you can sign up to get updates for us. And in particular, I don't know what I'm going to use that for yet, but it's going to be to get us a list. Mainly right now, it would be if you would like to be notified when we're going to be recording shows, special shows where the show itself won't be live, but we'd like to have some audience participation or a panel discussion. I can send out to that list. If you would like to be a person to participate on one of those podcasts, I will use that list for that purpose. So that's the first thing that I've got for signing up to get updates from us. There's also a donate button. So we don't have subscriptions. I don't have a Patreon. But if you'd like to give a one-time donation, either through PayPal or the Buy Me a Coffee, there's donate links there. I don't have tiers and I don't have amounts. Just give what you think works for you. But one of the things that I also did, in the tab feature, there is the Amazon affiliate link, which opens up to my Amazon store. Now, of course, you can save that as a favorite in your browser so that you can go there on your own. But if you're on the website, you can click there and go to Uncle Marv's Amazon store that supports the podcast. And you guys know how to use Amazon. You search, you buy, just like you always do. Nothing changes. But if you use the link first, the show gets a little bit in terms of support. One of the other things that I will be doing, as a matter of fact, Matt, I'm going to share a screen with you. I'm going to be doing some feature products. So whenever we review items, that's one thing we're going to be doing this year. PodNuts Pro is going to be going back to its roots. Is that, that's a good way to say it. Yeah, back to basics.
Yeah, that works.
We're going to have conversations with a lot more techs than we have in the past couple of years, a lot more business owners. And we're going to be talking about things that really help us focus on our business. I'm going to be talking about my journey more. Some of the emails that I have gotten that I haven't read on air were mainly questions about, hey, what did you do to get started? Or what did you do to get to this decision in your business? So I'm going to go back and share some of those stories. I'm going to share more about the tools that I use on a regular basis. And when I do share those tools, I will put a link to that tool on the website. I think I can put it on the homepage, but it might be somewhere else. I'll let you know when that comes up. But Matt, one of the things I wanted to show you, I got today that I purchased off Amazon. Let me share my screen here. And sorry, folks, I know that this is a...
It's just for me.
Audio podcast. But here we go. I'll share screen two there. I purchased this Soho Touch NVMe M2 duplicator.
Wow.
And so I have my duplicator that I have for, you know, my mechanical drives and my solid state drives. But I just went through where I order a ton of machines that come with the M2 drives already installed. And up until now, I did not have a way to duplicate. If I set up a customer system and got everything installed, I had one little dock-based duplicator for M2 that would duplicate one-to-one, and it took forever. So it was just easier for me to do each machine separately. However, some of these customers, I'm doing a lot of machines. For instance, I just finished 25 machines for one client. Now, most of those were with, you know, SATA solid state drives, so I could duplicate them in my regular duplicator and take care of that. But I have 8 that I'll be doing here in the next couple of weeks. They're all going to be these M2 drives. So this duplicator is a 1-to-7 duplicator. Now, you look at the price, it's $1,500. That's a lot of money for some people. But I did the math for me. So even in this case where I'm only going to use it for the 8 systems, and it's funny because I didn't like go searching for 8, but this is going to work out just perfect for this example because I'm going to prep the first system. And now I know that a lot of people don't do everything prep wise. They wait and go on site so they can bill the customer for every hour that they're on site. Most of my customers, I bill a flat rate per machine. So I bill whatever, $300 per machine for prep, set up an install, transfer. So the fast.
Hold on. Say that again.
What was that?
$300. $300.
Uh huh.
And what does that include?
That's to prep the machine, deliver and set it up, get it on the network, and transfer files and settings.
Really? So if they have 30 programs, that's all that?
No, this is just for a couple of programs. So this was the rate that I'm using for this customer. So this customer is already on a managed plan, so they're already paying us monthly. So they get a discounted rate for me to do new machine installs. So it should be $450 plus to do this.
So new machine installs aren't covered under your agreement?
No, they are not.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, if we have to go on site and install something, there's a charge.
Okay.
And so their discounted rate is $300. So basically it's $100 per hour. I tell them it's going to take about 3 hours per machine. So I set the duplicator up today, did a copy. It took an hour and a half to copy one M2 drive to 7 additional M2 drives. So for me, I've already almost made my money back.
So tell me this. What does your prep include at your office?
So at my office.
I mean, you can't join it to the domain unless you've got a VPN.
No, so but I configure Windows. I go through all the Windows prompts, get it set up. I install the updates. I pre-install.
You're doing this with just a local admin account, right?
Local admin account. Download the Windows. Make sure all the drivers are up to date. I use HP, so I do the HP support assistant. Make sure everything's up to date. I will install for this customer. They have Office volume license that I install, and Adobe Acrobat 2020, and some Nynite software. So things like, Firefox, Chrome, VLC player, stuff like that. So I get all that set up. I pre-set up our agent on there. I don't fully install it because if you get duplicate names in your account, right, if you do it that way. But I get it set up so it's already installed, and then I can do that once I get on site. So that takes me, an hour to an hour and a half to do all of that.
So when you load Office, you're not active. You're not putting the key code in there, are you, before you image?
Sometimes no. For this client, I am, because it's the volume license.
And Adobe, you're activating before you
Adobe
image.
Is the same thing. I do the TLP license, which is the same as the volume license.
Yeah.
So it's the same code.
Right. So, and are you doing assist prep and then imaging?
Actually, I'm not.
Really?
Yep. I did.
Assist prep on Windows 10 is so easy. Yeah. Windows 8 was terrible.
Windows 8 was horrible.
But Windows 10 is really nice with assist prep.
Yeah, I thought about doing that, but for these, because I do it for this customer and then I go, and do it on the domain, I don't really worry about it. But because I do the install at the office. If I were sending this out where somebody else was going to do it, then I would sys prep it.
Yeah, so we do similar prep. We charge an hour prep work. But if they're on our agreement, they don't get charged any extra. It's just all included in the monthly fee. I mean, in the ticket, we'll put an hour for prep. It just depends. If they're not getting billed, then it won't bill. But if they're a non-agreement customer, that 1 hour entry will generate a bill, and then everything on site is charged per hour if they're not an agreement customer.
Mm.
But we charge an hour prep too, and then whatever on site. But again, if it's an agreement customer, they don't get billed anything extra, even for on-site visits.
Wow.
But we tell them on-site is only at our discretion as well. So.
Right.
Not theirs, because they'll say, "Oh, I need on site." No, you don't need on site. You want on site, but you don't need on site.
So this easy dupe duplicator, I'm going to have a link. You can get this on Amazon. They have their own page, but you can also find this on Amazon. It's the exact same price. So I will have a link to this. It's the Soho Touch NVMe M2 PCI duplicator 1-7.
So is there you can't connect to a computer and read these drives.
No.
It's just a duplicator.
It's just a duplicator. It's a duplicator and eraser.
Okay.
There's something that I noticed today when I was looking at it. There was a compare feature. I haven't figured out what that is yet. But to duplicate and erase NVMe drives, this does pretty good. And it was the first one that I found that did more than one, you know, that wasn't, you know, $5,000.
Yeah, I'm curious to how it works because I've had really mixed results trying to get an NVMe, either even an adapter, much less a duplicator.
Right. And I did find one, you know, really tiny dock for NVMe, but it was like 3.5 hours to copy a 256 drive. It got super hot. And it was only one. So
at that point, you can just reload Windows.
Right. I mean. But in this one, like I said, it did 7 copies. So I did this before I left, and it was just about 1 hour and 20 minutes on a 512 image, which I think the image was only like 200 gigs total on the drive. So that's not bad. But the fact that I could do that in just over 1 hour instead of 1 hour per machine.
So I was at your office. I don't remember. You don't have like a huge long bench space to set multiple machines? I don't remember seeing that at your office.
No, well, I've got the one bench in my office where I can do stuff. I've got the bench in the tech office, but they're the same. They're 60-inch benches.
Okay.
And most of the time I use the bench in the tech area because I don't have a full-time tech. So I use that for a lot of the stuff. I'll prep the main machine in my office and I'll do all my duplicating and all my machine preps, you know, where I line up the machines at the other tech bench area. So,
well, I think it was pretty nice. I want to know how it works. You have to report back to us.
I will.
To make sure it works.
Yeah, I just unpacked it today. I did the first copy, so I'll obviously be doing more. And
so you did a copy, and it was successful.
Yeah.
The machine booted,
yep.
And it all worked. That's cool. What you need to do is get a few of those things, because then you can make one copy and then put each that into multiple. You can do like 80 at a time or something.
And they'll copy, and they'll copy, so on, and so on. Yeah, it's funny because I haven't had to do, like I said, I just did 25 in November, December. This client, I still have, it's interesting. I have, so my large law firm, do a quick search here. I still have, these are all remote systems, but they still need to be upgraded to Windows 10. So if I do Windows 7, how many are still there? As we count on air and waste time.
I have a question. I have a couple of questions for you.
47.
47 remote. Okay. So there's 8 computers for this client.
Uh-huh.
These are new computers. I'm assuming they're replacing older computers.
Yes.
Those older computers already had the volume license for Office.
So, yes, but they are Office 2010.
Okay. So you had to buy a new volume license for these 8 computers, 8 licenses.
Yes.
Let's just say. Okay. So what are your thoughts on the benefit of Office 365 is that you don't get kicked off, you don't get bugged by those annoying audits.
Right.
That when you have a volume license. But I guess they still prefer the one-time cost over a recurring Office 365 cost.
So this particular client, they are not on 365, they're on hosted Exchange.
So you could do Apps for Business.
So we could do the Apps for Business. But they got on this back in like 2012. So they're used to this and they don't like change. And they prefer.
But they had Windows 7. Now they're getting Windows 10.
Now they're right, only because one of their vendors told them that they need to, or else they won't get support anymore. But they still like the idea of, we'll just buy this computer, we'll buy all the licenses for it, and we won't have to worry about it again until we get a new computer. So that's how they are. So they would rather do that than put together their, now they, to their credit, well, let me rephrase that. So when they went to the hosted exchange, they're with AppRiver, they didn't like getting the monthly bill. So they do their AppRiver, they pay once a year.
But when they add licenses in the middle of the year,
AppRiver makes the adjustments. And so by the time the next bill rolls around, all the adjustments are in there.
This isn't a law firm, is it?
Of course it is.
Okay. How, I'd like to know how on earth that worked, because most law firms have a huge turnover.
I don't know.
I guess you can reassign licenses, but if you add people and fire people and you want to reclaim those licenses or add more licenses, I mean, if you add a license in June, are they paying from June to through December, and then the next bill covers the whole year?
I don't know. They're a referral client, so I don't see the bill. I don't have to worry about it.
I'm curious how it works.
They pay AppRiver directly.
I don't like it. When clients ask us if they can pay annually, because most of our Office 365s, we do with the Microsoft Partner Program. So we pay them bill, and we charge our clients. And it's when people want to pay annually, it's kind of annoying, because, okay, you can pay for 20 seats from January 1st to December 31st, but if you call one in June, then you're going to pay from June to December for that person. That way the whole count can be again on January. But if you keep making changes, I mean, it gets frustrating.
It does. And that's
I'm not the one even dealing with it. I mean, that's our receptionist. Accounts payable does that.
That's why I'm glad I don't worry about it.
I just don't like it. I'd rather just say, give me, you pay by the month. I mean, I understand you don't like paying monthly, but you pay a lot of things monthly. Your electric bill, your water bill. I mean,
yep. This works for them. I mean, they pay me $1,800 per computer to set it up, and they're happy because they write me the check. And
$1,800 a computer?
Yeah.
That includes the cost of the computer, I'm hoping?
Yes.
Okay. God, I was going to say, that's a good margin.
Yeah. I got them a real good deal on the computer. It's $785 for the computer, $400 for the Office license, and $300 for the Adobe, and $300 for install.
Yeah, see, and they use Adobe because of functionality, or just because that's what they've always used?
They do a ton of PDA or PDF manipulation. So they'll extract PDF documents, combine.
Like Nitro is a lot cheaper.
Yeah, but for some reason, and I can't remember exactly what happened, I think we tried to use them and they either didn't like them, or it didn't do everything they needed. Or I think for this customer, it might be that it wasn't 100% compatible with their case management system.
A lot of people that want Adobe, I tell them, look, it's a 14-day trial of Nitro. I'm just going to put it on there. I want you to see if it works for you. Most of them love it.
Oh, yeah. I do Nitro for a lot of the other ones. I do Nuance PDF, PowerPro.
See, I like Nitro because I can go see how many activations easily with that license lookup.
Right.
We do the Adobe thing where you go into the licensing portal, but it's not as easy to use, and that you can't really tell who's loaded it. You can go get your license certificate, but you don't know, unless you're documenting very good, where you loaded it. You don't really know where you loaded it.
So I keep track of that with my software tracker.
In SolarWinds?
No.
Okay. So you have an, it's a, like a,
it's
is
an, on,
it, is
it's,
your software tracker an Excel spreadsheet?
No. My name isn't Jeff Hallish. No, I have, what is that called? TNI software inventory. I basically load it up on a server at the client's office, and it does a weekly scan of all their computers and gives me all the computer information, all the software information, and I can go and do reports on software installations. And
okay, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Can you tell a difference in that software if a computer's got an Adobe trial or an Adobe fully licensed version?
Well, no, because...
Or does it just say Adobe?
No, it'll say the Adobe, it'll say the version, it'll say the license, but...
Because if you load Adobe and you just don't put a key code and you use it for a trial and you never activate it, I know SolarWinds would just report it as it's got Adobe on it.
I think most will do that. I think they all do that.
That's annoying because a client today wanted, oh, can you tell me who's got Adobe loaded? I'm like, not with 100% accuracy, no. Because they said, oh, this one should have Adobe. Well, I connect to it and it's got a freaking trial. I'm like, yeah, it's got a trial. So
yeah, but how long did they have the trial? I mean, it's got to expire at some point.
Well, if you open it, it just says you have to activate it. That's the thing. I mean, it's got it, and the dashboard shows us got it, but it's not activated. No. You can't use it until you activate it. I just don't like that because a lot of these users that we work for, a lot of them are oil field. And oil field people have engineers working on the computers. Engineers, of course, know everything. I mean, they know everything.
So you let them install their own stuff?
Of course, they know everything. they know everything about everything. So they have local admin rights. They can do whatever they want because they know best. So if you didn't know that about oil field engineers or any engineers, it's a good tip. They know everything. They know more about computers than you know, just so you know, just to give you a heads up.
All right.
So they will do what they want, and then they call me and say, why doesn't this work? And they say, like today the call was, why is there a trial on that? Why is there a trial of Adobe? I said, I haven't looked at this computer in 4 years. This guy has 8,000 programs loaded, and you fired him. I have no idea why stuff's loaded on there because y'all never call us to do anything. So you want to find out why is a trial in there, I suggest you get a hold of him, even though you fired him, and ask him why there's a trial. We didn't do it.
Speaking of people who know everything, I had so I do subcontract work for a lot of people, and a guy from New Jersey called me and wanted me to go out to his client here in Fort Lauderdale that they needed to have a network connection for a computer and a phone. And he couldn't remember how they were set up, and I haven't been there in 2 years. So I went out today just to kind of survey. And when I got there, the office manager said, well, the cable's already run, so we just need you to connect it. And I said, okay, I wasn't told that, but let me look and see and let you know if I can do that. She goes, yeah, if you just pull back the wall plate, the cable's already there. I said, yes, but where does the cable go on the other end? Well, it goes all the way to the back. I said, I don't remember cables going all the way to the back that needed to be terminated the last time I was here. So is this new cable that was run? Well, no, our electrician told us that the cable was already there. And he said, all you have to do is terminate it and you'll be good to go. And I said, okay, let me go back and look at your server room and let's go see if we can find the ends of these cables. And she goes, well, they're labeled. Can't you just look? So we took off the wall plate. There were four cables in there, one white, one gray, two green. Two of them said Cat5e, two of them said nothing. And I looked and the cables were just kind of hanging, no labels, no writing on the cable, no nothing. She's like, oh, he told me he labeled them. I said, well, let's go see if we can find four cables in the server room. So we go back to the server room, no cables. So she said, well, maybe he left them hanging in the ceiling. I think he may have said he rolled them up and bunched them up. So we get a ladder, get up, no bunched cables. So I have to go back to the other side of the building. And basically, this is two big warehouse bays where they broke through to another warehouse bay. And I said, so maybe he meant that the cables are running to the back of this bay and not to your bay. And she said, well, no, he told me he made sure that they were working because that's why we paid him.
How could they be working?
So I go up and I find, the path for the cables, go back. and find him at the end of the wrong bay, nowhere near the server closet. They are coiled up and just sitting on top of a light fixture in the ceiling. And I have to tell her that, you know, these aren't going to reach back to your server room. So you need two new cables. She's like, why would he have told us that? I don't know. But why did you let your electrician advise you on your computer cables?
Yeah, on your network infrastructure. I mean, it's fine if you want to have a network an electrician run it, but let me tell you where it needs to go. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you told her it needs to come here, from here to here. This is right. Where it should go.
Then, of course, you know, I had to explain these are warehouse bays. And she goes, well, can we make sure that they can get through the wall? I said, well, we can get them through the wall, but if this is a fire rated wall, they will need to have conduit with fire sleeves. Did your electrician do that for you? I don't know. So I had to look up and see if there were conduits. And of course, they had two tiny little, I would love to say that they're 1-inch conduits, but they look a lot smaller. So I might be able to get 2 or 4 more cables in that conduit to go through the warehouse wall.
He's going to get through the wall.
No, I'm going to get my cable guy to go out and run these two cables. Because I should have told them, well, if your electrician did this, then let your electrician connect them and do all that. But the guy that I do the contract work for wants us to do it. Because he wants it done right.
So what's going to happen with the cables that were already run?
We're going to pull them out and throw them away. I asked her. I said, what do you want us to do with these cables? Because there's a ton of cables up there. There's probably like 20 cables that used to be in this warehouse bay that are no longer. They're probably still, you know, run down the wall to wall plates, but all the ends are just hanging up nowhere in the ceiling.
Nice. That's helpful. I love when people don't clean up after themselves.
Oh, nobody does that down here.
Nobody does that anywhere. They should. I mean, if you cut the wires, take it out completely. Don't leave all that junk up there. Somebody's going to take a wall plate off and see a jack right there and think it's going to work. So I'm going to just plug it in, and they're going to call you saying, hey, it doesn't work.
Right. But there weren't even any jacks on the end of those cables. It was just regular wire, not terminated.
Was there a ball box at least, or just coming out of it?
It was a crappy one. So I go out and I got my little screwdriver and I'm trying to unscrew the wall plate, and the bottom screw kind of comes out. the bottom screw comes out. The top one, I'm turning, and it never comes out. So I start trying to pull, and then the whole plate comes out, and the screw is still. It's one of those cheap plates where, you know, you stick it on and you bend up a clip to stick to the drywall, and then you run the screw through, but the screw wouldn't. It was turning, but it wasn't coming apart from the wall mount.
I don't like those kind of boxes like that.
So I have to tell my guy, you're going to have to put in a new box. But, you know, you can get those things at Home Depot and Lowe's real cheap. And
yeah.
Do the same.
So what are they going to do with the guy who ran this? They paid him to run this.
Oh, that was
probably paid, you know, time and material.
It was 2 years ago. I don't know. Who knows?
Oh, 2 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a year and a half when I back. Actually, in fact, the last time I went out, so November of 2019, I got called out because the cabling was done in like February of 2019, and they were finally getting around to adding a phone and a computer in this one office. So we knew that those cables were working because we went in and did them again after the electrician. And so they went to plug in the stuff themselves and the phone wasn't working. And they claimed that there was something wrong with the cables. So I went out and I basically spent 20 to 30 minutes checking the cables, only to let them know that your phone is not working because it's plugged into the wrong spot. So they had one jack for the phone and one for the computer. They were just reversed because Comcast had come in and brought their own switch for the phones. And so you had to make sure that the cable was going to their phone box and the computer were going to the regular switch. And they didn't know how to switch the cables from one switch to the other.
That's very technical.
So obviously, you know, since they couldn't do that, it had to be the cables.
Do you get this a lot? We had once a day where somebody called and saying their phone and computer were saying disconnect. They couldn't connect. Phone wasn't working. Computer wasn't working. This happened a year ago. And a year ago, the problem was they got one of these nice little handy things you put your chair on, you know, the spikes in the bottom on the carpet.
The floor mat?
Yeah, the floor mats. And they ran the cable underneath that. And, of course, the cable gets shredded. So we went out there and we replaced it saying, you can't run this under this floor mat. You got to run it. I mean, we can run it maybe along the side, get some molding or something, but you can't run under the floor mat. And, of course, I said, no, that's fine. Well, it got shredded again today. They call it. It's not working again. Yeah, because you keep putting it under your floor mat with these spikes on the bottom. You see these spikes? These spikes are not good for cables. But they had downtime, a law firm. If they don't like downtime, they had downtime and a bill because they keep putting that cable underneath the floor mat.
So, yeah, we get that. We get the ones that they get the little – the
black rubber thing?
Yeah, the black rubber thing.
That's at least nicer because it's not going to be crushed with the spikes. And we told them we can get that, but they said no, they didn't like that either. They like it under the floor mat. If you want it under the floor mat, you're going to have to have downtime once in a while.
Yeah, the floor mat cable protector is a pretty big thing.
We don't want to trip on it. Yeah, well, you're not going to trip on it, that's for sure.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, so trying to think. I don't think I have any other stories except for the customer that called today asking if we could turn off email for a few of their employees.
So is that turning off? So they're still employees. So they still want them to work, just not have the email functionality?
No. This is much worse. So this is a customer that we picked up when we were doing sub work for a cable company. So this cable company wanted to be known as, you know, the all-in-one tech company. They were a company that ran cables, but they also wanted to supply phones, supply cameras, supply alarm systems. And if you needed network support, we do that too. So what they did, they originally hired somebody in-house to do it, and that person quit. Quit. Let's just leave it at that. So then, because we had used them to do a bunch of our cabling, they asked if we would help them. So we subcontracted a lot of their tech support. So they would have us go out, we'd bill them, and they would upcharge to their clients. So this particular customer was getting pretty sick and tired of them and asked if we would support them separately and not through the cable company.
There was no agreement with them that you couldn't take over their
customer. Well, I did the gentlemanly thing. I asked them. I said, look, this customer is asking me to do this. I'm not going to do it if you tell me no, but rather than just do it and not tell you, I'm coming to you first. If you don't want me to do it, that's fine, but just know that the customer is going to probably go to someplace else. So they allowed us to do it and support them. So this is how that started, and this is a company that we started work with them in 2009. So they are now three companies in one. It is one of those plumbing, mechanical, roofing stuff. So each part of the business is a separate entity. So we bill them as one company, but they pay us with three different checks. And for the last 3 months, we have gotten two of the three checks each month. So yesterday we sent a nice little letter saying that, you know, we've enjoyed having you as a client. We really like you. We want to keep doing business with you, but we cannot keep supporting you by only getting 2/3 of a payment each month.
Because the company, whatever their internal departmenting is not as irrelevant for you.
Correct.
The company is not paying its entire bill.
Right. So I said, you know, your invoices are all open. So, you know, they've got three open invoices and we're getting ready to send them another one next week. So I said, we would like to get this cleared up. So their office manager calls me today and says, so two of the three owners are fighting. So can you turn off everything for this part of the company? So they want me
the
to.
The one that's not paying.
The one that's not paying.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, sure. But let's settle up the bill first before I do more service.
Well, what they want to do is they want us to turn it off so that, because apparently they're not getting paid for other stuff. So apparently they're supposed to pay for a third of the rent, a third of the utilities, and they're not getting paid for all that stuff either.
So they're stiffing their own other departments.
Yeah.
So I want to know what you did, but I would probably say, first of all, I need it in writing. I'm not doing this verbally. I need you to send this in writing that you're requesting this. And I also need the past due invoices cleared up before I do anything.
Yeah, I haven't responded yet. I told her, I said, let me get back to you. I had some other stuff I had to do. And because here's what actually ended up happening is she said, well, you know what? He changes his mind all the time. So even if we turn it off, he'll probably want us to turn it back on. And I said, well, you guys got to figure that out yourself. So why don't you call me tomorrow? And by then we'll have an idea of how we want to proceed going forward.
I would still probably say, I'll be happy to do this. Settle a payment.
Yeah. So
especially if they're fighting, right? You don't want to, you're going to lose money because they're fighting and they're just going to, you know, wipe.
Yeah. I mean, we're not hurting. I mean, I bill them enough so that the two departments are covering for all three. So I'm not losing money.
So instead of breaking it into three, just break it into two and send them each, the two that are paying half and half and not 33, 33, 33, 33. That's what you should do. And look, I'm not going to continue sending invoices that no one's going to get paid. So y'all are going to cover his costs.
I thought about that and just saying, why can't I just bill you each individually?
So because I can't.
But the problem is it's one physical network. So what I would need to do is identify, you know, even though they pay a third, I know that this business isn't a third of the computers. It may only be, you know, four out of 30 computers.
I guess that's up to them, but as far as divvying up resources, but I would say, look, I need whatever internal conflicts you have. I'm a business and I have to pay for the invoices.
So my idea was to say, why don't you identify?
You should say, how about I do this? How about I cut off email for the whole company until I get paid? That's what you should do.
Listen, it's one for all and all for one. I can't, so, you know.
I like your idea. I'm gonna take it one step further.
That's right. That should be fun.
I have a company that it's one company, but I think the last count they might be up to like 8 or 9 subdivisions. So when they call, they're supposed to tell us Swing Connect wise, there's like, I don't know, 10, 15, I don't know how many freaking companies they got to tell us, oh, it's for this ticket for this company, this ticket's for this company, quote unquote. But it's all the same people. But yet, oh, bill this person or bill. So they have a bunch of companies created in Peachtree and ConnectWise, and they have to tell us, oh, this is for this, this is for this. And they wanted us to do it. I'm like, that's fine. Well, it's not my headache. It's my receptionist and account payable girl, you know, doing this. But you've got to tell us when you create the ticket who it's for. You can't tell us after.
Right.
So if you want it separate, you need to tell us when you submit the ticket who it's for so we can put it under the right person. Because so many times a bill will go out and they say, oh, this isn't for us. It's for them. Can you resubmit it? Well, that's a lot more work that we have to do. I told them, if we have to do that, you're going to be charged an administration fee because you didn't tell us who it was for, and now you want us to redo it. There's going to be an admin.
You just tell them, it's another ticket.
Yeah. I tell them, it's going to be an admin fee because this is your internal departmenting, and you're making it our problem. I mean, I'm sure that they could internally have cost centers, and this is for you, this is for you, this is for you, but they're making us bill separately. which yeah. sounds like which. Oh, you're building the. No, you're sending three bills.
No, I'm sending one bill.
Okay, they divvy it up. And they split the payment. So we have to actually send different payments or different invoices to different quote unquote companies. So you're saying you would do that if you could divide right. maybe 10%, 40%.
Right. You tell 50%. Me which computers or which services go on which invoice, and then we'll do that.
Yeah. So then I pay in, they could cut off their email.
Right. So I used to do that for, so my law firm, my big law firm has seven offices. And we used to send seven different invoices, one for each office. The problem is that part of the office administration cost or whatever is a terminal server that would be in the main office. So they may have, 33 computers in one office, but there are servers in the main office. And anytime we had to go to the main office, then we had to figure out, okay, are we billing for the main office or are we billing for the remote office? If we're coming in. Yeah. And it got all jumping up. So I said, look, I just want to send you one bill. You guys divvy it up. I can tell you how many, I can give you the list of, the number of servers, the number of stations, and you can, divide it up by how many users are in each office. Because, the big problem was, too, is that people would move offices and not tell us. A person would move from the West Palm office to the Orlando office. And, we wouldn't know for 3 months because the computer doesn't move. So they would do a bunch of stuff. I'm like, look, we're going to bill you for what we have under management for your entire firm. And if you want to split it up, you split it up. And so they agreed to that. So it took us like 2 hours to do those seven invoices.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. So I have one quick question. I want to know how you handle something. You have a lot of in-house Exchange servers, but you do have Office 365.
Not anymore. I have one Exchange server left.
Okay. So you do have clients on 365 for email?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you do when an employee is terminated for their Office 365 license and their mailbox?
So for most of them, we forward their mail to another user. And we convert their mailbox into a shared mailbox and provide access to whoever needs it.
So you're doing delegation for the mailbox also?
Sometimes. Sometimes we just make it a shared mailbox and nobody has access to it, but it's there.
It's there. Archive it, yeah. Basically. Archive in the mailbox. It doesn't archive the OneDrive and everything else for, I think, for 30 days.
Yeah, but we don't have anybody using SharePoint or OneDrive.
So if you convert it to shared and no one has access to it or gets it forward, what do you do for somebody that's sending mail to that address? It's just accepted and is never – the sender doesn't ever know that no one's checking it?
No, we forward the mail. So the mail –
you always forward the mail.
Yeah, the mail's always forwarded somewhere.
So yeah, so it's – what we happen a lot is somebody tells, oh, so-and-so's terminated. And I have to go through the whole spiel. Okay, so what do you want to have happen? If somebody emails that account, what do you want to happen to it? And they go, well, nobody needs it. I'm like, okay, but we're gonna archive, we're going to put the mailbox to a shared mailbox. So no one needs any mail received to that account. No one needs to be forwarded. No. I said, can I bounce it back to the sender so the sender knows that no one's checking it? So they say, yeah. So a lot of times what I'll do is if nobody needs it, I create a group called Canceled Accounts. I hide the group. After I convert the shared, I'll add them to that group. And I do a message rule that says if they're a member of this group, to basically reject the message with whatever notification. So I see a lot of times other people, I've heard complaints. When I talk to people, they don't do that. They just convert the shared and just – if somebody emails it, they just go to the shared mailbox, and the sender never knows that no one saw the mail.
Right.
Which, like, well, that's annoying. If I'm the sender of that mail, and you keep responding over and over again saying, hey, are you checking my account? Especially if there's somebody, like a customer, maybe they're asking for a quote
right.
something for their company. It's just that I find a lot of people don't think about that. So you have to either forward it or you have to bounce it.
Yeah.
So that's my tip. You can't just convert to shared and not forward, thinking you have to ask the question to the customer. What do you want to have happen if somebody sends an email to that address?
Interesting. I don't remember when I started that, but it's a rule. If somebody leaves, who gets that email address? Somebody has to get that email address.
I see, but sometimes I'll say no one needs it.
Right, but until you know for sure. So even if we forward the mail for 30 days and then delete the account and box, that's fine. But for a certain number of days, now for some, we do it for a whole year.
We don't even bother deleting the shared mailbox. If they're shared mailboxes, we just leave them. It doesn't take up any space on their tenant.
No.
It's not counted toward their space.
True. But I just mean, tell
we hide
them.
We hide them from the address book.
Yeah.
And they're either forwarded, delegation, or rejected mail.
Right. But sometimes people will say, you know, hey, I've been getting this, you know, mail from this account for 6 months. All it is spam. Can you please stop it? Then we'll do something.
Yeah. So then I would probably stop the forwarding and delegation and then add them to a canceled accounts group. Because you know, one day, even though they told you to delete it, they're going to come back and say, oh, you know what? I need to have access to that mailbox.
Yep.
Can you get that for me?
Yeah. Somebody 4 years ago sent us something and they said they sent it here and we need it.
Yeah. So I never delete shared mailboxes, but I will reject them. New messages. If they tell me we don't need the mail, I just reject it because it always happens. Inevitably, it always happens. They want access to that mailbox later on.
Well, here's the thing is if somebody important is trying to send an email and they get that bounce back message, then they know to call the company and say, hey, I'm trying to send mails, you know, and then that's, you know, so there, yeah, something needs to happen as opposed to, you know, hey, did you get my email? Hey, did you get my email? Why aren't you responding?
That's what's going to happen. Right. That's what's going to happen. And they're going to get mad. And then I've had this happen before is if one of my guys didn't do that, they'll actually complain to us saying, hey, this guy's emailing this account and we didn't know. And I had to go back and look at a ticket and say, yeah, well, it says here no one needed it. So it wasn't being forwarded. But this guy was emailing. The same thing happened. Well, they were emailing, and now they called. They've been emailed for 6 months, and we've never got it. I said, but you said you didn't need any email to send to that account. So that was a while back. That's why I started, if I'm not forwarding it or shared delegation, I bounce it.
Yeah. That's what the argument that I give to people when they start saying that to me is, so if you move and you don't forward mail from your house – and the postman or postwoman is still delivering mail to your house, whose fault is it?
Yeah.
They're like, I'm like, so are you going to yell at the post person who, because the address still says your old house, so they're doing what they're supposed to do. It's the same with email.
Yeah. I mean, you got to either return the sender or you got to forward it.
Yeah. So it's your responsibility to tell your friends and family and people where to send the mail. Same thing with email. You can't yell at us if you don't tell us what to do with that email address.
Yeah. But I find a lot of times that the customer doesn't know, and the tech doesn't think about it. They just say, okay, I'll just disable the account, convert it to shared. I'm like, okay, well, even still, they don't want to see it in the address book. So at the very least, hide it from the address book because now they're going to think it's still active because they go look in the address book and they see it.
Right.
So you have to also hide it from the address book.
Yeah.
You actually also remove them from any email group.
Distribution list.
Yeah. I said these are all steps, but I find so many times people just don't do that. And it's a pet peeve. It's a pet peeve.
So, I'll say. All right. So I thought we were going to end, but I have one other thing. So I had an administrator who – likes to do his own tech work. So he does his own stuff. He adds users, deletes users, makes in groups and makes sure people has access to stuff. So he asked me today, it's another email today. I'm getting a lot of these emails today. Can you send me a list of all the Active Directory groups and what they represent? I said, why? And when I went and looked at it, so most of these groups were created between like 2010 and 2016 by their in-house IT or him. And they have a group set up for attorneys and paralegals and support staff and for this office and for that office. And I'm like, so what is it that you want to do? And he goes, I just want to make sure people are in the right group for permissions. I'm like,
that doesn't mean they're, just because you're in a group doesn't mean they're tied to permissions
anywhere. I said, what permissions? So I had to get him to explain to me what it is. And basically, he wants to be able to set up an account for somebody and have them all automatically get access to the correct, you know, they still use batch files for their scripting for batch drafts. Yes.
There's no group policy. He's actually using batch files.
This is what, yeah.
Login scripts.
Login scripts, yep.
Oh, my God.
So they want to get the right login script, and they have terminal servers, so they want to be added to the right group.
Which server OS is this?
They have 2012.
Okay. So the first step you need to tell them is you can't rely on login scripts. You got to use group policy to tie into your Active Directory groups.
Okay, when they let us run their IT, I'll suggest that to them.
So the thing is, that question, you don't know what these groups mean. You don't know if they tie them to permissions on a specific folder. Just because they're in the right group doesn't mean they're getting the right permissions based on that group unless you do an evaluation of the whole folder structure.
Oh, I took one look at it, and so they've got some groups set up as local. They've got some groups set up as security. They've got some set up as universal. And I'm like, I'm going to need to clean this up.
I would reply saying, no. There's a very long, complicated answer, but the end result is no, I cannot. I had a client like that once that we took over, and they said something similar to that. I'm like, I said, based on what I'm seeing, no, I have to. And this was years and years and years ago. And it took me 2 months to go through the whole folder structure, all the groups, find out who should have access to what, and redo everything because it was such a mess, And when I was done, that's what I could do. You could add them to a group. Now, this was back in the server 03 days, so there still was login scripts, but at least they were named something and you could, you know, put them in the right login script. But God, login scripts? It's 2021. Login scripts.
This is the client that has 47 or 46, whatever. They still have those many Windows 7 stations.
Okay, so I'm going to make here's what I'm going to guess. This is a prediction. The guy running this network is probably in his 60s, 50 to 60s. Am I right?
No.
What?
No. He's in his 40s.
It must be late 40s.
I don't know his exact age, but that's my...
Okay, but he works for the company directly.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Yeah, he's their practice administrator.
Okay. So the thing is, he learned server OS on Windows 2000 server and has never bothered to read anything else about server OS since.
I have no idea how he figures stuff out. I assume that he Googles stuff and then he tries to work on it. And when it doesn't work, that's when he calls me.
Back in my day, we used to use these batch files, and I think they still work. Don't mess with it if it ain't broken.
That's
these
right.
Batch files, they're nice. No, they're terrible. We went through a few years where when I would find a server with batch files, whatever I was doing, I was like, nope, stopping. I'm stopping, dead halt. I'm at a dead stop. I'm going to get rid of all of these and put them on
group policy.
Group policy. I was. It was people we manage, It's just that the guys or somebody was used to batch files. And I would tell them, guys, stop using batch files. We got to put it in group policy. So it took a while, but years ago, I would just stop. I would just stop. Even if I was working on a desktop thing, if I was on a desktop remotely and even when I'm in there, back then I was probably there and rebooted and I saw a login script run, I'm like, oh no, I'll be back in a little while. I'll have to go fix this.
Yeah, this is a guy who still, when he notices that somebody doesn't have access to a particular drive, he'll just manually map it.
That's very helpful. He's the kind of guy who's going to have individual users set from permissions on folders instead of using groups probably anyway.
Probably.
Because that's the quick fix. Oh, just allow. Oh, give him access to that folder.
So I had to put in a script because one of his easy fixes was to just make somebody an administrator.
It works.
So we did something. I forgot what I did. I think I did something where we put in a new server and I said, you won't be able to have people be local administrators anymore because this will take them out. So, and I forget, I got to find the thing. It's a program that I set up so that every 4 hours it'll go through and find anybody who's an administrator and then remove them.
And for the cyber cop,
for the longest time, he would like go set up somebody as an administrator, fix their problem. And then the next day he's like, it's back. He's like, I don't understand.
That's funny.
And I told him, I said, they can't be local administrators.
Not for very long anyway.
And he didn't understand. He's like, all right, can we make him a domain admin? I said, no.
Yeah, that's what you want. That'll fix it. Yeah, but today, here's an example. Today, I don't like setting individual anything, individual permissions. Everything is a group or a rule.
Right.
Today, somebody calls saying, oh, can you forward this person's mail to this person? 365. I'm like, yeah, I could go into the account properties and say forward to this one person, right? Easy. I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing that. I make message rules, and I go make a message rule. And I'll say, you know, add this, either redirect or I'll CC, depending on if they need it in the original mailbox or not. So I did a rule, even though they only wanted to forward to one person, I did a rule to add the CC to go to this person. Done. 20 minutes later, they emailed, oh, can you also forward it to this person? Yes, I can, because I created a rule. I can easily go add that person to my rule. Because most people are going to just check the box to forward to one person.
Right.
It's annoying, too. I don't like doing things more than once. If I create a rule, it's easy to add somebody else. Even if somebody tells me to share a folder and I want to restrict to this one person, I'm going to create a group. I'm going to add that one person to the group. And I tell my guys all the time, I don't ever want to see a folder assigned to a user. Only groups. I better not see a folder with a user underneath it for permissions. Oh, it's just one person. Yeah, it's one person today. They're going to add another person.
Yep.
Another person. Another person. Another person. I still find sometimes, this was like a few weeks ago, they wanted to add somebody to a folder. I didn't see a group for it. I'm like, what the heck? It must be in the general domain users, right? I go to the folder, and it's kind of like four people listed. I'm like, oh, my God.
All right.
So I've got to go create a group, add those people, remove it, and tell my guys, don't – I found this. I shouldn't be finding this. And of course, nobody did it, right? Nobody did it. I'm like, somebody did it.
I'm not ignoring you. I'm writing notes here because we're going to make an entire show out of Active Directory. Oh. Proper setup, cleanup, proper use of group policy.
I can't believe that. You know what? We need to have people let you know if they're still using login scripts.
Okay.
Because those people, maybe they don't realize how easy it is to do group policy drive mappings and how much time it would save them.
Well, half of them probably don't have servers, remember? Networks don't need servers. Haven't you heard?
Yes, I forgot.
So
you know, I could see login scripts coming back, right? Because people do want to do peer setups. And they, you know, if you want to map something in a peer setup, you're going to use. Of course, you could use local group policy, but I'm sure it's just easier to put a login script in the startup shell.
All right, so here's what we'll do. I will figure out a way to put together a call out for use of Active Directory, because I'm sure we're going to get comments about Azure, you know, AD in the cloud. What is it? Synology.
That's not an Active Directory.
And, well, but, you know, some people do that. And Up-Level Systems, the firewall people that have been on the show a couple of times, you can do directory services from their firewall. So we're going to get a bunch of that. So
I would have some questions about that, but it's not full Active Directory.
It's not full Active Directory.
Full Active Directory. I do too. Server operating system. Yep.
So if you are a listener and you've made it this far in the show, please send me your comments, your questions about Active Directory and group policy, login scripts, all of those things. And we'll make an entire show off of that. That show will probably be late February or March. So that gives us time. But go ahead and start sending that stuff in, and that will give you time, Matt, to make it through the end of football season and to get yourself ready for another show, because I know you like to spread your shows out with me.
I do. They could go to podnutspro.com and click on a little microphone, too.
You can do that. You can go to podnutspro.com and hit the contact page and just send me the message there.
Well, the microphone's so much fun.
You are going to... I'm going to be deleting messages all weekend now.
I might leave messages about the football games I'm watching. Hey, did you see this? Oh, my God.
Drew Brees threw another interception. All right, folks. Thank you for listening. Matt, thank you for being on the show. First show of 2021, sharing some stories and tips for us. Head over to podnutspro.com, folks, where you won't be able to see the video because we didn't have one, but you'll be able to get the latest episodes and find some other stuff on the show. I will have the link to the easy duplicator that I got for the NVMe that you can purchase that on Amazon if you'd like to give that a try. Of course, if you want to wait, I will do a review of that in depth in probably a couple of weeks after I've used it a few more times and run it through its paces. And send me your questions and ideas for shows that will bring us back to basics. So I told you that we're going to do more shows this year that talk about the specific tech that we use in business. We're going to talk specifically about getting started in your business, running your business. I will tell my journey from when I started, the joys and the pains and all the mistakes that I made. Hopefully, if you're in the first couple of years of your business and you need some encouragement, some help, some warnings, we will have those for you. And I've also committed to doing a series on networking. And we're going to talk about some of the network tools that I use. I've got some of the Net Ally guys that are going to come back, and we'll talk about my networking tools. I've got a couple of people that mentioned that they do want to hear a specific show on VLANs, because of my VLAN story with the cameraman from a couple of weeks ago. So all that will be coming up on the upcoming shows of Podnuts Pro. Matt, Merry New Year.
Merry New Year. I have a topic for you real quick, if you want to add to your list. Uh-huh. What do people do about IPv6? Do you disable it? Should you disable it?
Oh, okay. I should do a thing where I put out a question and have people send in responses. I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure it out. I got it. I got time. And we are going to make a change to the Florida Man saga. So this year, we will not be doing Florida Man versus the world. I'm coming up with a different concept. There will still be about Florida Man, but it will be something where you'll have to guess, Florida Man or not. See how that goes. So, all right, folks, thank you very much for listening. Hope that you subscribe to the show. Head over to podnutspro.com and select your favorite podcatcher so that you can get these shows as they come out. You can be notified so that you can watch the videos of our live shows. That's going to do it for this episode of Podnuts Pro. Hope to see you back here real soon. And until next time, holla.